Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is titled Finding a Job in the New Century. And I do realize this is a topic that I've talked about more often than not, but simply because we are in an economy where people need to change how they are looking for a job and what they consider to be a job. And because this is such a hot topic right now, and so many people are looking for ways to find a job, and I thought that this would just be a topic that I need to talk about today. When do you plan to change how you look for a job? We have moved from the manufacturing age to the knowledge age and into the service age. The problem is people are still looking for jobs the same old ways, going to job fairs, sending in resumes, just going online and posting their resume. These are not always the best way to go out and look for a job. As when the new technology came into existence, when they first started incorporating this, it was a good way. But now you need to think of some other ways that you can incorporate to start looking for a job. And you need to look at using multiple methods to find a job. For instance, recently I was sitting somewhere and I was listening to someone who had been out there, and she had lost her job with a law firm and she's currently looking for another job. What she's doing is she's using recruiters, she's going to networking meetings, she's talking to friends, she's going to churches, just various different methods. What she has found is that she's always been in the top three of the final callbacks, but someone else always got the job. And it usually turned out that it was a friend of a friend of a friend who recommended that person, who allowed them to be the one that got the job. Now, let's go back and review. Back a few months ago, I had Janet White come on my radio show, and we talked about alternative ways that you can look for a job. And what she suggested was, and it's in her book, Hidden Secrets, How to Find Your Dream Job, is that you need to change how you are marketing yourself. You need to look at how, when you go into an interview, you can research the company, find out what their problem is, and tell them how you can look at, you can help them solve that problem. The thing is, when the personnel manager is interviewing you, he's looking for ways that you can tell him that you can make him look better. So how can you, in the interview, let him know that you understand what his problem is and how can you help him solve that problem? Because if you can help them solve a problem, then you are more likely to be the person that he chooses. So let's look at some other things that you can consider. Unless you embrace technology, you will be left behind. There is also generational differences in how people work in the workplace. Talk about the different generations. And first of all, when I'm talking about the different generations, I'm talking about the mature generation who was born before 1945. And those were the group that is nearing retirement today. Many of them are in their 60s today, so they are reaching retirement age. Then you have the baby boomer generation. They were born between 1946 and 1964. This is the generation that came in at the tail end of the corporate environment. Many of them did as their parents did. They went to work at the corporation. They worked their way up. But after 20 or 15 years and 20 years, they often found themselves in a position where the company was offering them a buyout package. Why a buyout package? Because for a long time, when you went to work for the corporation, it was always assumed that there was an unwritten rule that you had a job for life. That's why even today you will see where companies like AT&T, when they start cutting back, what they will do is offer buyout packages to people who are nearing retirement age. When this happens, that group often will go out and start their own business in some way. And what I'm going to do is tell you of a story that someone told me. He had a friend who was working for a corporation. They did some cutbacks, and he was forced out. What he did was he decided he would open up a store on eBay and sell clothes. So what he did was he went to the thrift store, and he found some clothes that looked like they were relatively new and hadn't been worn very much that he could buy for as little as $5 and $6 and then sell for as much as $20 to $25 on eBay. So he made himself a nice little profit. And he started out with as little as $300. And since then it has grown in 6 months to where he is supporting himself on it. So that is an option that you might want to look at as a way to earn a living for yourself using the new technology. And then you have Generation X, who are the generation that were born between 1964 and 1980. They are the ones that have embraced the new technology and are willing to change and understand the importance of using the computer to build a business or even take the technology and use it in the current business that they're in. For instance, I know someone that's a music producer. For years, you used to go into the studio and you would mix the sounds. Today, you have software that you can put on a computer. You can add different keyboards and things to it, and you can do and produce music from home using basic information that's out there. Then you have the millennials. This is the group of people who were born between the 1980s up to the present. And why they are called the millennials and why does it start at 1980? Because this is the group who embraces technology and uses it to help enhance what they are already doing. So as you can see, there's things that you can do that can really help you in the workplace if you are willing to change how you look at a job and how you plan for work today. I've mentioned this previously, but I also attended a presentation that someone put on a business that he had started on the internet. And this is something that you can do as an option for a job too. And what you need to do is go on Google. Think about what it is that you really have a passion for that you would do no matter what, and put those keywords into your research so that they can bring it up and show you some of the things that you can do that can really help you in expanding how you are looking for a job today. These are some things that you need to consider in the job market, and how can you use that to really benefit yourself in the future to help you build a business and really expand on it. Here are some other things that you might also want to think about. Do you multitask like the millennials do? Are you willing to change how you look for employment? And how does the economy affect the job market? What companies are doing right now? For instance, some companies are not hiring, but what they're doing is, because there has been a slowdown, they are willing to cut the number of days that the people work, say, from 4 to 5, and then that allows them to cut what their payout is, which allows them to also cut some of their expenses and also look for ways to help people keep their job and keep their income, but without losing money. Because if there's no money to spend, there's no jobs to be had. And here's another situation that has come up. States and cities have also been in a position of they've started to lose money because of lack of revenue from taxes. So jobs for city workers, such as I live in Atlanta, and Mayor Franklin has had to cut jobs, and what she has had to do was also cut the money that was being spent for firemen and police. So what has happened is they have had to cut the number of hours. So what is also happening is that you find more and more the police are making up the difference by doing security jobs in different companies where they are needed. So there are options available to you. Now it's beginning to affect, with the state workers, the teachers. And I live in Georgia, and there is no union in Georgia. And Georgia is 46 from the top in education to begin with. So there are always a lot of issues coming up in this state anyway. And my sister is now a retired teacher, and when she read how the state was cutting the number of jobs and what they were doing was putting more students into the classroom, then she's sitting here saying that the teachers should go and protest. Well, how can the teachers be treated any different as a profession than anyone else if there's no money to pay them and they can't afford to increase their pay as they normally would? So what teachers are going to have to do is look for other options on things they need to do to help them increase their income if they want to. So they tend to be the group who uses the technology, but they are only using the software that is provided to them. So what are some other things and other options that they can do as well that can help them increase their income? So as you see, it's across the board. There's jobs that you thought were safe are not safe anymore. So you're going to have to look for alternatives in employment today. What are the methods people are using to currently look for jobs? Those I mentioned earlier when I mentioned listening to someone who was trying to find a job, and that was that she's using a recruiter. She's going to networking groups, and she's also contacting different churches and going to friends that she knows to ask them what options are available to her. We need to think of doing what are some of the things that you can do in the interim while you are looking for a job that can help you earn an income. Now, when you're laid off, you can get unemployment through the state, but that may keep some of your payments up, but it will not keep up all your payments, and you will end up either getting behind on your rent or your mortgage or your insurance on your car or your car payments. So what you need to do is think of some alternative ways. And if you think about it, there are things that you do as a kid that you would that you could also do as an adult that can earn you an income, because you still have executives who don't have the time to tend to their own needs. So they may very well need a personal assistant to help them. So if you are good at coordinating clothes, if you are good at doing the mundane routine little things, then why not shop around and put out a flyer to let someone know that you would be available to assist them for, say, $10 a week or an hour. Excuse me, $10 an hour, because we know that at this point you don't want to overcharge, but at the same time you need to make a decent income. So if you do, say, 10 hours a week for someone, and you have two or three people that you work with, then you can make anywhere from $100 to $300 a week. And when you supplement that with what you're getting with unemployment, and say you're making anywhere from $200 to $300 a week in unemployment, then that would give you anywhere from $500 to $600 a week coming in. If you have anywhere from $500 to $600 a week coming in, then you have at least $1,000 to $1,200 a month coming in. And that can at least pay your bills if you're willing to cut some of your expenses. The problem is that people have high mortgages that are unrealistic at this point, and they need to renegotiate to bring those down. And many a times people have also been paying anywhere from $300 to $400 a month on a car payment. So how can you take and cut some of your expenses there? It might mean getting rid of the car that you're paying the high monthly lease payment or payment on to buy, and maybe get a car that's less expensive, or turn around and get a car where it's a much smaller payment, because you won't be paying as much, and just weather out this economy, because the economy will not turn around for a couple of years. A lot of people say 6 months, but if you really think about it, it's going to go according to what the very, very slowly. So if you think of it as going very slowly, it will take more than 6 months. So it's, you don't, you're either going to use up the money that you have in reserve, or you're going to end up having to cut your expenses and not use that money and leave it leave it as your investment. Because if you lose your money that you have for retirement, then what you're going to end up doing is having to work longer years just to be able to live comfortably. The cost of living today is much higher than it was back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, so therefore we are going to have to look for alternative ways. And what I want to do is talk to you about, if you like to write, if you look on the internet, a lot of solopreneurs need people, if they're not good writers, to help them write the articles and the blogs, so that they can build their search engine optimization. So there are things that you need to look at that are alternatives for employment today. If you're someone who can have your own business, there is companies that are networking companies that use multi-level marketing. And that's a great way to build an income. But here is something that I want you to think about. Make sure you research the company, not just on the amount of money that you're going to make and how solid it is, but is it something that you really love to do? Is it something that you would approach your friends about even if you were not in the company? Is it a product that you would use if you were not in the company? So when you think about it, those are some of the things that you need to think about when you're looking at multi-level marketing companies. So many times when someone gets into a multi-level marketing company, all he's thinking about is all of the bonus money that he's going to make, and he's going to get excited over that, and then he's going to talk to you, and he's going to hype you up simply because he needs to recruit you in so he can start making money off of what you do. But that is not always what you need to look at when you're looking at starting a business. And I am on a Yahoo group that's called Entrepreneurs from Home. And a lot of people who are on that group are people who have started their own business. And it's the income is slow, or what's happened is they've gotten into network marketing companies and paid out the money to join it as a recruit. And then they've found that this product was not something that they really wanted to do or really loved to do, so that what's happened is they have not been successful with it. So now they're going on this Yahoo and they're asking for help. And what is happening is you have 10 or 15 other people who have products that they want to market, and they're going and they're promoting it, and they're giving this website to the individual, and they're telling them how great an opportunity it is, and they're talking about the bonuses that they're going to make. Well, that's great. For instance, you've got companies out there like Artist, which has makeup, healthcare products. They also have a garment, like a corset, that helps someone reshape their body. And someone's going to hype you up about how the garments and how great it is and how successful they are in selling it. But would it be something that you would use? Would it be something that you would tell someone else about? You have other companies like Mona V, and that is strictly a health drink that affects is what they're also doing is beginning to come out with what they call an energy drink that you can promote and sell to restaurants. Well, it would be a great opportunity if that is a product that you use yourself because you're concerned about the effects on your heart, on arthritis, but all those things really effective. You have to research them. You also have to think about all those products that you would use. Now, I'm going to tell you about a company that I'm involved with, and that one is called Inkscape Publishing. This is a company that I've been involved with since 1983. Only when I first became involved with it, it was two separate companies. It was Performax, which was the assessment profiles, and it was Personal Dynamics Institute, which were actual training programs that you could use, one that talked about work, one that discussed how to improve your behaviors, and different programs. Now, eventually the two companies merged into one company, and then they were bought by Carlson Companies. When they were owned by Carlson Companies, they were known as the Carlson Learning Division, until a holding company bought them out so that they separated and they became known as Inkscape Publishing. And some of the products, the only product that has survived from PDI that's a part of the Enscape product line is the Adventures in Attitude. And this is a 30-hour training program that has both discussions and activities. Now, if you sell that or if you purchase that, what you're doing is you're purchasing a leader's guide, which allows you and gives you the what to say in that seminar that you're doing. And it can be done in a 3-day seminar. It can be done in 1-hour seminar, 1-hour presentations over 30 weeks. There's different ways that you can use that. One of the things that I found is the people that I'm going to recruit are people who are already in the training field or already coaching, or if it's someone who is in the HR department who wants to go out on their own and provide training, and also if they are familiar or have used the DISC products. And often if you mention the name Enscape, people won't always know what you're talking about. But if you mention DISC, D-I-S-N-C, then that is something that people are very familiar with. So that becomes a way of offering someone something that they would utilize whether they work with their company or whether they went out on their own. That is why when you think about different things, you have to think about the things that you would do on an ongoing basis that you would be doing anyway. Now, what we can do is think about ways to promote yourself. And use of social media is a very important aspect of how you build your business today, of how you grow that business today, and how you promote yourself. You have Facebook, you have MySpace, you have Ning, which is a social group where someone can go on there and create their own group. So on there, I'm on a coaching network. I'm on a group that's called What's Up TV that helps you promote and market yourself. Tara Banks also has a group on there about her show. You have one by Ellen DeGeneres, who someone has in their company has started a Ning group on that site. So what you need to do is also help promote yourself. What I am also doing is, because I'm a coach, I'm on the Coach's Spotlight, and I'm also on a group that is about coaches. And there are several Yahoo groups that I'm on, and in those Yahoo groups, one is called New Coaches Network, the other one is called Career Coaches. As you can see, what I'm doing is trying to target where I'm marketing myself, also where I can partner with someone that can help me with building my business and expanding it and building clientele. So these are some things that you really need to consider when you're looking for employment, and how if you are on social networks, people are going to know what other jobs are available in their city. So if you tell them, you go on there and you tell them what it is that you're really looking for, what your expertise is, how you want to be recognized, and what you've done previously. These are also the way, if when you're interviewing with a company, that you would approach selling yourself to them. And when you are out looking for a job, you also need to go on the internet and research different companies, learn about them. Also, what I have found is that using the internet, I have connected with people that I haven't seen or heard from since high school. And that's another avenue of marketing and building a business for yourself, if that's the avenue you want to go, because you want to let people know what you're doing. And when I was in high school, I was often the outsider looking in, because I was educated before there were laws in the books guaranteeing people with disabilities the right to an education. Therefore, I was the only person in the school, much less the classroom, that had a disability. And because I was different, people did not know how to relate to me. They didn't understand what a disability is. They didn't understand how you get a disability. And it was, ooh, don't touch her, don't get near her, you'll get what she has. And as a child, that often made me feel insecure. And I realized that most people, when they are in high school and younger, they often have a lot of insecurities. They don't gain the confidence in themselves till later in life. And part of that is that the parents need to help them learn to accept that not everyone is perfect. Everyone has failures. Everyone, but if you respect yourself, then others will respect you too. The problem is that depending on the era that your parents and the experiences they had coming from the home they had, then what they're doing is they're bringing those experiences from their family into the home. For instance, my father grew up in a family where his father was the dictator, and he screamed a lot, and he yelled a lot, and he hit a lot. So my father basically brought those same behaviors into his marriage. My mother came from a family where there was a lot of hostility, and my grandmother cursed my grandfather almost constantly and fought with him almost constantly. So she grew up in an environment where there was a lot of hostility. So what happened was these two people came together and got married mainly because he needed a hostess, because he wanted to be able to give dinner parties for other lawyers and judges. She needed financial security, and he represented that financial security. So that was what they were looking for in their marriage. There was no real love between them, no real respect between them, and they did not show that to their children. Therefore, they have had children that have had real issues to work with, not as much within themselves, but in the relationship they have with each other. For instance, I have a sister that taught for 30 years in special education, and she does not like her sisters. She does not respect her sisters. She treats them exactly as her mother did for years by constantly screaming and yelling and fighting with them. As a child, she often fought with her sisters. She often instigated arguments, and then she would often play the little innocent so that she got away without being disciplined for creating the hostility that was surrounding everyone in the house. And in the end, as adults, there is a lot of animosity there. My older sister is deaf and had a lot of potential, but because her behavior pattern was such that she needed to be encouraged, she needed to be pushed and believed in, and because she was often told, you cannot live on your own, you cannot think for yourself, you cannot hold a job, then in reality, what has happened is that she has lived that prophecy because she bought into what they told her. And now she will be 60 years old in another 2 months. And as a teenager, she found that she could throw a temper tantrum and get what she wanted. So that temper tantrum became what she did all the way through college. Often, if she went to a school for the deaf and she was not happy where she was, she would throw a temper tantrum, and my mother would come to rescue her, and then she would say to her, you know, if you get put out, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm not. And then what would happen is she would get frustrated with having my sister home, so she would just send her back to school somewhere where they would accept her, and she could just take classes So she never really had a goal in life because they never encouraged her to have a goal in life. So often those things plague you as an adult if you do not recognize them early on and are willing to change those behaviors. For instance, now I will discuss some of what I went through. I'm the middle child, so the middle child often is the one that kind of gets caught in the middle and gets frustrated. The older one kind of knows because of my situation being I had an older sister with a disability and a younger sister that couldn't do no wrong. Then every time there was an argument in the house, I often got blamed for it, mostly because I have cerebral palsy, and during my early years, I often had to wear special shoes, and I had to wear a brace so that I could walk better. And a lot of these things created a lot of insecurity in me, especially the abuse. And what I found was when I went to school, the kids teased me because I was different. And then to protect myself, I learned to strike first so that before the others could hurt me or what I saw as being mistreatment. And a lot of that was their ignorance, but because I didn't have the support in the home that I came from that showed me that I was loved and respected, then I learned to bring that hostility with me. So that, as you can see, often the things that happen in the home also affect where you are and how you are going to be dealing with certain issues. If you take things from your home into the places that you are, then what will happen is that you will create a lot of hostility around you. If you're aware of what you're doing and how it hinders you in the workplace, then you can also change that behavior. But you have to be willing to recognize it first. For me, that came because I understood, even at 12 years old, that the environment that I grew up in was not a good environment. I remember often going into my room and closing the door and crying. I also remember one day climbing out of the window and running away. And had I had an opportunity or had some place to really go, I probably would have totally run away. I remember also being 12 years old and being crying and upset and having to get to the school before the doors open, and going to school and a friend saying to me, "Who hit you? I will go hit him." And I remember saying, "My father." If that in those days they didn't deal with what was going on in the home, so those things were not addressed. That's why often in the last 15, 20 years, things have changed because the violence escalated with each generation to where they actually were killing the children. Not intentionally, but often because the abuse got worse with each generation. So you have to be aware of how you can change what you are doing, how you can improve or expand on the things that you need to do, how you can take and build on the skills that you have and maybe get the therapy you need. For me, what that meant was once I entered college and I started to study psychology and mental health, I realized what was going on in the family was not healthy, and I found that I had to distance myself from them. That once I began to change, they were not willing to change, then I had to change myself. And in changing myself, then what I was able to do was find a way to achieve the goals that I set for myself. Because I grew up with a disability, eventually I ended up in a master's program for rehabilitation counseling, which is employment counseling, and that in itself is why I have the expertise and the knowledge that I have today and have been willing to observe the changes that have been going on in the workplace. So if you understand what the changes are, if you understand how to incorporate those skills and how to build on them, then it is something that you can be very knowledgeable about. What I also want to do is discuss the different behavior patterns, because how you work, we all have these different patterns within us, but some are our strengths and some are our weaknesses. And if you play to your strengths and you understand what your strengths are, then you can turn around and you can build on that and expand on that to really help you build a business for yourself if you so choose to do that. And today you can do that by researching on the internet. There are a number of companies out there that need for instance, people who were solopreneurs have developed products to sell. So what they do is they will have affiliate programs, and these, when you sign up for these affiliate programs, then you are helping them market their products, and they have set up a scale upon which they will pay you for any sale that you bring to their company. And this is another way of building a business. If someone is a salesperson and they like to promote products, whether you're in medical sales, whether you're in clothing sales, there are things that you can do. There are also websites where they are looking for you to help them market their products. You have companies that sell clothing. One place that I can think of is called it's My Mall Store. And what they do is by being an affiliate with them, they will give you a replicating website. You can go online, you can go on to GoDaddy, you can actually purchase a domain name so that it doesn't look like you have a replicating website. And then you can attach your name to that website and your domain name and market those products and get the commission on those sales. If you want, there are companies who offer catering or gift baskets. You can do a similar situation with them. You can also decide that you can associate with a company who drop ships products. You can take those pictures, you can buy a domain name, you can set up your own website, you can set up through checkout, through PayPal, and even through Google, where people can use those services to pay for the product, and then you get the payment. Then you pay the sales price that the company expects you to pay, and then you can take and you've made a profit off of that business. So there's many options available to you to think about gainful employment if you are willing to change how you look for a job and how you think of a job. It's just a matter of thinking about the fact that we are no longer in the manufacturing age, so there's no such thing as a job that pays a salary today. Most sales jobs in retail stores may have an hourly wage, but they really expect you to do sales and make more in commissions, and those commissions are how they are going to pay you. So how can you think of some things that can really help you change how you look at a job, how you think about a job, and what is it that you can do to really expand on the things that you need to do to create a job for yourself? And think about the knowledge age. Is there information that you know about that you can offer someone that can help them live a better life? Think about hints from Heloise. Think ways to keep your clothes clean? What are, you know, if you have a knowledge on what are ways to get rid of stains and you can write little tips about that, can you create a book out of that? Can you create an article out of that? How can you start creating your own product? When you create your own product, then you are also doing some of the things that you need to do that can really help you build and expand on your business sense. How can you increase your base? Often there are TV shows like Jeopardy or even, what is it, The Wheel of Fortune. People need training on how to present themselves when they are in that environment, because often, even if someone has the knowledge, if they are someone who freezes up and can't and is insecure about themselves, then what happens is they may not buzz in, or they may not be fast enough to buzz in, even if they know the answer. So, because it's usually the one who's the quickest on the button and gets the right answer that wins the game. So if you have a knowledge on how you can help someone, and if you can coach them, are you a spiritual, can you be a spiritual coach? Often you find groups of people who are very much into their religion, but they may not think about building that as a business and coaching someone on how they can really expand on their skills and how they can increase their opportunities. What are some of the things that you can do? What I also want to do is go back, and I did not discuss this, although I mentioned it, is talk about the different behavior patterns. You have the D, or the dominant behavior pattern, and that is someone who likes to, who feels they can control their environment. They like to rule the roost. They don't like to be questioned about anything they say. They don't like to be accused of lying. They don't even want to believe that they lie. Then you have the I behavior pattern, and that is someone who's very outgoing, very friendly. That is someone who has never met a stranger. Both the D and the I behavior pattern are very outgoing behavior patterns. Then you have the very conservative behavior pattern, and that is the steadiness behavior pattern and the conscientiousness behavior pattern. The steadiness behavior pattern is someone who literally goes by the book. They read the Bible, they interpret it that a certain way, and then they will sit there and tell you this is what it means simply because that's what they believe that it means. You have the conscientiousness behavior pattern, who is someone who's very questioning. They are very slow to decision making. You also have different 16. You have, those are the four classical behavior patterns, but you really have 16 behavior patterns because you have the DI behavior pattern with the low SC behavior pattern. You have the DF behavior pattern. You have the DC behavior pattern. You have the ID behavior pattern. You have the IS behavior pattern. And you have the IC behavior pattern. Then you have the CD behavior pattern. And that person is someone who's conservative, but at the same time, they also like to believe that they have control to a point. You have the SC behavior pattern, and you also have the SI behavior pattern. You have the CD behavior pattern, you have the CI behavior pattern, and you also have the CD behavior pattern. And someone who's a CD behavior pattern is someone who is very structural, someone who likes to have control. The problem is, if you are someone with one behavior pattern and you are managing someone with a totally different behavior pattern, unless you recognize those different behavior patterns and utilize them to your effectiveness, then you are also creating a situation where you are going to create conflict. And what we need to do is look for ways that we can change that and reduce the conflict. If you have your own business and you do not recognize these different behavior patterns, then what is happening is you can lose business if you are someone who's astute in these behavior patterns and you utilize them to your effectiveness, then you understand how to communicate with someone who is a potential customer. And that is a very important aspect of understanding how you are doing business today. What I want to do is take the last few minutes to let you know about my website. My website is the number one, personalcareercoach.com. I am an Inscape Publishing distributor, and we offer Epic, where you can take the assessment profiles online, generate a report that can help you understand just where you're at, how you respond to people, and how you need to change those behavior patterns. We have one on communication. We have one on team building, because you need to build a team around you to help you be successful in the things that you expect to do. You also have one on work expectations, because often when you interview for a job or you create your own job, you can create the job you want and have the work expectations on yourself that you want. But if you are working for someone else, then they can tell you what the job description is. But often what happens is once you get on the job, you find out that the job is not exactly what they said it is. So either you're going to be happy because you have chosen an avenue that is helpful to you, or you're going to be unhappy over time and you're going to create conflict around you. So you need to look and think about some things that you can do that can really help you build on your business, build on your experience, and build on the skills that you really want to have. We also, often when you have your own business, you create stress for yourself by not delegating and having good time management skills. So if you are having a problem with time management, we can help you understand how to manage your time better, how to get rid of the time wasters, how to get rid of or how to better deal with what it is you need to do to get the things done that you want to get done. If there are things that you dislike doing, those may be the things that you need to do first, because then once you complete those tasks, then when you get to the tasks that you really love doing, then you breeze through them. So managing time also helps you reduce your stress in your personal life. And if we have an assessment profile that helps you understand what areas you need help in, where you are creating the stress for yourself, and how you can change that to make it better, how you can expand on it, how you can create some of the opportunities that you would like to do for yourself. Now, I've got just one more minute left, and what I want to do is go back and talk about some of the things that we've been talking about and tie it all together. There are generational differences of people in the workplace. There are expectations in the workplace. For instance, the baby boomer generation, they were limited in the opportunities open to them for in the workplace that the subsequent generations have. For instance, for many women, the only opportunities for the baby boomers were jobs as secretaries or jobs as teachers. They didn't have the opportunities for the management level positions. That became available to the Generation X because what happened was you had the women's movement, and the women's movement helped open doors for all women in all areas of the workplace. And what you also need to think about is, do you like to multitask when you are working? Is that an easy thing for you to do? Do you like to do things like expand on the opportunities that you need?